Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here in this house. And the privilege, Lord, of hearing praises rendered unto thee.
Amen.
And also, Lord, the testimonies of our lips of which we even sing. We thank you, Lord God, for all these privileges.
Amen.
Health and strength and liberty. And that which is still in the land of freedom to this extent. So we appreciate what you've given us. But while we appreciate your word, we pray therefore, Lord, tonight that you will help us to have that word further revealed to be of some great consequence to us. And we pray, Lord, that you'll anoint. We're depending upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I like that song, Amazing Grace. It's really one of the greatest songs in all the world. And I believe certain songs were written for this day, even though they were written in the last age. And I believe this is one of them, because this age refers to those who think they see and they're blind. Now, you know, the Bible says when Jesus said, because you say I see, he said your sin remaineth. Now, he said if you hadn't have said it, he said, your sin could have been forgiven. I just think we sing that song, and I sure hope that all of us see by the eye of the prophet, because there is a bride, and there is an eye that is single to the body, that the entire body is full of light. At this particular time, of course, there are so many people running around teaching, and I have to admit, I'm very slowly running around in reverse gear. And I don't never have got around much. I don't believe in it. And with the teaching, there's usually a lot of splitting because of the teaching, because the emphasis is not put, as I believe, in the proper place where the Word becomes alive through Christ, and the Word is there to unveil Him. In other words, when a preacher preaches and is truly inspired of the Holy Spirit, especially in the realm of teaching the Word, because there's where so much Scripture is used, you should be able to, in spite of what He is like, to see past Him entirely and see Christ revealed. Now, I'm not talking in terms here of a Roman Catholic priest setup. You know, where they say, well, he puts on the robe, and long as he's got the robe on, you know, that's it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual fact that when that word goes forward, that Christ must be unveiled, and you must actually see him who is that word. And if you're not, there's something wrong, in my estimation, with that. And so, hopefully, that will begin to see Christ more and more in this word, as I hope this morning you thought. I showed you the Alpha and Omega principle of the first and last age. I wish I had time to take much scripture and just show you, as Brother Branham said it, giving us the key that the first age could have had a rapture, but the bride wasn't all in. And so, therefore, the teaching of the first age is the teaching of the last age. And because Paul admitted that the first age would go down into spiritual fornication through the mind receiving that which was not truly revealed to him. Now, they'd be preaching what he said, but they wouldn't be preaching with revelation. See, so it went down. So at the end time, it is duty bound that this word has to come back in its revelation.
Right. Amen.
Now, I was talking to your pastor before service, and I said, I've always been a very fortunate person in my nature, or what has happened to me naturally. I don't understand it, but I seem to read the right books. I seem to be many times with the right person at the right place. It's just something like a little gift. And many times that that in this message, I'll know certain things the prophet said that make everything just exactly right. And one of the statements I brought up tonight was that, I don't know if you've ever heard it ever quoted before. Maybe you heard me say it. But Brother Branham said, we have seen the Word of God demonstrated in power, but we have never seen it in its revelation. The demonstration of power is the latter rain. You've seen it. It's been gifts and manifestations. That's fine. Now, if you want it, you're going to have it. It's all right. But have you seen it in its revelation? Now, what do you want to settle for? See, now, I'm very blunt. I wouldn't mind taking you all apart one at a time if you confront me. Not that I got a bone to pick with you. But I want to tell you something that's serious. It's all but over. See? And it all hinges on this message. When those seals were opened, Christ became those seals.
Amen.
And I remember Brother Branham in that fainting voice of his overcome, he said, it's been Jesus all the time. See? Now there's been a lot of fluff and a lot of tinsel, a lot of things around him. And at the end time, the church that John saw, he was so, not the bride, but he was so amazed at her sheer beauty that he wondered with amazement. And she was just as about as rotten and filthy as anything could ever be. Because it took one word from Eve to change the entire course of history. And I boo-booed by not taking off the refrigerator, which my wife so kindly cut out of the Reader's Digest. Now, how many of you heard of the author Michener, or have ever read from Michener? South Sea Island, the Covenant, the Centennial, and all that? All right, good. In the Covenant, Michener makes a statement which I wish I could quote verbatim. But speaking of the South African, he says something like this. If you ever corrupt one word, everything else becomes corrupted. I don't know where the man got it. I don't know where he got it. He had to get it from God. And he was talking about the purity of the language. He said, you change one word, and he put it down to them as those who desired to keep their language pure. In other words, to keep a national integrity. That's the same with this word. One word has changed everything until the end church ends up beautiful, full of power, I believe, with the Holy Ghost, the whole charismatic thing in swing, God anointing all flesh, until it's the most beautiful thing the world's ever seen, but it's the hardest, most damnable thing in history, because she's full of the blood of the martyrs. Now, alongside of that, the word manifested in power, demonstrated, and so on, there has got to be a bride that is the bride of revelation. Well, that's what I've been trying to preach this morning and show you. I took the Alpha and I took the Omega. And this will be, without a doubt, the most important message you heard, which was preached this morning. In other words, everything else will almost pale into insignificance beside it. But there will be those things coming forth that I have said will change your life. You will not be the same. I got to thinking tonight before I went over my notes. I decided I'd shuffle through my notes and I went to number 6, which is 16 solid pages. We'll have to sit here Sunday morning for about 3 solid hours. Amen. If you want to bring the banana, go ahead. That's my wife. She gets hungry because she has a little hypoglycemia. She'll be entitled to have a banana. That's all that means. Just step outside the door and come back in again. I'll yell a little louder so you get to you. All right. I wondered what had happened when I preached this series and I told our own church, from this time on you go forward or backward. I found the statement, y'all won't tell you what it is when I read it. I'll read my notes verbatim pretty well with a little comment. Maybe I can cut it down, that 16 page one. Sunday morning or Sunday night, I don't know which way it's going to fall. Maybe Sunday morning. I saw exactly where it was turned down and where the church took an about face.
Now, I hate to talk like this, but I've already made my stand where I live. That I'm not fooling. But they didn't believe me. See? I can take those sermons and trace the course of what went wrong. Because they couldn't understand what I'm talking about in these messages. So these are important. Not because I say so, but because they are important. Wouldn't matter who talked them. Wouldn't matter who did it. I believe they came from the Lord. I hope so. Now, in the first message we saw that the Holy Spirit baptism, that was this morning, was responsible for two tremendous irrevocable. That means you can't change them and you can't call them back. You're stuck with it. These two tremendous irrevocable experiences. One, the Holy Spirit irrevocably united us with God, making us one. That's individually. This never ends. There is no way it ever malfunctions or goes out of existence. And we took 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Doesn't say two, it says one.
Amen.
And since the whole is greater than the part, and the part is contained by the whole.
Amen.
And the less is blessed of the better.
Amen.
It means everything that is in this verse stands in God.
Amen.
One spirit. You are no longer recognized as an individual apart from God. You are only recognized as one who is in God.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Wish you had time to preach on Galatians 2 and 20. I'm going to drop it, but I will see that you get a chance. I got an entirely new version since I went into this free scripture. Now, what is he saying here? He is absolutely talking about a marriage union. And so, therefore, it is a horrible thing to be joined to a harlot. And the people join themselves to a harlot system, and they become one flesh, one person, one entity. But he that is joined to the Lord becomes the Lord.
Amen.
As Brother Branham said, he became us that we might become him, is absolutely the truth. And there's where marriage is. That's why the woman is that supple vessel that she can form to the man. That's why she formed to Satan. Satan could put her. That's why Satan could bring out of her everything that was in him. That's why Christ can bring out of a bride everything that's in him. And that's why you husbands bring out of your wives that's in you, whether you want to admit it or not. Hit him, brother, there, right in the gut. That's right, you husband. You check it out. You're going to find what's in your wife. You are bringing out of her what's in you. You have to, because marriage typifies union with Jesus Christ. I'm quoting out of Choosing a Bride.
Okay.
Sure, it's true. People often always want to blaze their eyes driven. You're a bunch of hard-headed nuts, I'll tell you the truth. Stubborn like a hog being cast. Long as there's something in man that can bring out of that woman that nature that belongs to that man. You see, because she came out of him. And he can make that woman the queen. You bet your life. That isn't the case. Why does God do it? That isn't the case. How does she typify marriage? Why would the prophet say the greatest thing outside the Holy Spirit man could, God could give a man as a woman? Hey. All right. Join to him. John 14. I've got to say a lot of things and say them fast and hard to weave in because I can't be here too long. And we missed 2 years already. 14. And in verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. I want to ask a question. How long does that day continue? That's not when you receive the Holy Spirit and you have some grand and glorious experience whereby you suddenly know because all the frills are there and you feel so wonderfully elated and emancipated and bubbly and effervescent and everything else. No, that day when he comes in from that time on is a living experience of you knowing. You say, Brother Bill, why don't we know it? Because you don't keep your minds on it. You've been sold a bill of goods. Like I said this morning, people say the Holy Ghost was given for this. He was given for that. He was not. He was given to join you to God.
Amen.
And make you one with Him.
Amen.
See? Now, that's the same like I say about marriage. Wife goes about her work all the day, oh, the dust is all off, and the kids are this and that and the other thing, and the time for her and her husband to get together, well, ain't got time, ain't got time. You got one cruddy marriage. Man works all day long, works his finger to the bone, and that's all he knows, work, 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 and his poor wife waiting home, have a little loving companionship, he ain't got time for her. I tell you something, God's got all the time in the world because we ain't got no time for God. Paul said, as long as you keep this in mind, but everybody's sold a bill of goods of, of emotion, and they bypass the mind for years, and this is the mind age, and the mind does not move, the mind concentrates. The last moving part is the eye.
Right.
From there on, what the eye sees, your mind apprehends by your ear, and in hearing you see.
Amen.
I saw every vision Brother Branham had that he told about. I saw every intimate thing in the Scripture that man saw by vision that I was told about.
Sure.
I am co-equal with Brother Branham in his understanding of the Scripture as revealed by Almighty God to him on the proviso that the Holy Spirit illuminates it to the same depth. I don't know if he will or not, and he might go even further. Because I'm heir to the same thing.
Sure.
See? Now, he united us to himself individually, irrevocably. Secondly, he united the members of the bride to each other who were united to himself, and he becomes the head of the husband. We saw this over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. In verse 12, as the body is one of many members, and all members that one body be many are one body, so also is Christ.
That's right.
See? For by one Spirit we all baptized into one body. That's why it says over there in Ephesians, one Spirit, one baptism, one body, one God, whether it be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member but many. Then he goes on to describe it further. Over here in John 17. 21 to 24. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Now notice, he tells how they all become one in the horizontal, which is through the vertical.
Yeah. Amen.
There is no way that the bride is not one in the horizontal. She is.
That's right, brother.
If every single member is one in the vertical, there is no way. Because, you see, that which is in the flesh is entirely superficial and set to one side, and it's only what counts in the Spirit, and that's God's Spirit, not your Spirit. You see? Okay. That they also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now notice there's something in there that's absolutely tremendous that'll repeat at the end time. The world's going to know something. I believe that. That's why Brother Brown said she's a super, super race approaching unto him. She's got something nobody else has got. Now, the glory which thou gavest me have I given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, he says it two times, that gives them reason to believe it happened then, it's going to happen again. And thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now that's wonderful. Everybody's got no problem believing that God loved the Son. They have a problem believing that God loves them. But it says right here, when that vertical goes into the horizontal, you're going to know. Now that's absolutely true because the Scripture says we're going to know as we're known.
That's right.
And has been proven by the discerning word, God himself, who stood there and stood here in the meetings with Brother Branham and proved that he could read every heart from 1 to 5 million. Now, not at one time, but depending on who needed reading, you couldn't hide if you tried, showing that God knew every single thing about you and there was nothing hidden that wasn't revealed.
Right.
And therefore, there's nothing about God that is not revealed.
That's right.
Amen. That's why Brother Brand said that bride with the carriage had to stand still long enough. How long can you stand still? I wish I had time to preach in the time of the resurrection, and I can show you what's wrong with the entire church system, and this people who believe this message so-called, they won't stand still. Brother Branham said the same thing. I forget where he said it. I can find the Bible for you, though. Nail it right down. Now, Father, I will that the altar whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, will declare that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, read a little further than you need to do, but it's all right. Now, if you'll notice here, that in verse 19, he said, for thy sake I sanctify myself. And then down here in 24, he said that they may behold my glory. He said that they may be where I am. Now you'll notice right here that even as the individual has an irrevocable experience with God, which cannot be altered, there is not one that will be lost, but every single one is going to be with him. See, now to the individual, he said, showing the spiritual connotation, you must be born again. It's a spiritual rebirth. But when he talks about thee standing here, he is not necessarily talking only about the rebirth, though that is involved in this. Yeah. He's talking about actually from this point on to the resurrection and eternally to the white throne, past the millennium, into New Jerusalem. Yeah. There is no time when the bride will not be with him.
Amen.
It says, even like it says, their angels always beholding my Father's face. If this is true, then before we get out the offering, they're already there beholding him, and we identified with him. How are you going to get away from it? See? A lot of people can't understand about how what it is with preachers, I guess, more than a lot of people. You know, because they're home all the time. They can be home with their wives. And I guess women have said to my wife, I don't know how you stand it. Well, I don't know how I can stand being away from her. I'm not going to ask her a question because she stands being away from me. The idea wouldn't be polite. The answer is she can't stand it either. That's the way it is with this.
That's right.
See? Because of this union which he relates to marriage. He said it's a mystery of marriage. That tremendous oneness and a compatibility there. See? All right. To get a picture of what we're talking about, vertical and horizontal, and I've been using this in up to illustration so far in this respect, we're going to go to the book of Acts in the second chapter and trace it from the beginning. And it talks about them all being in one place at one time and one accord, and there came a sound in heaven as rushing might have been coming on the house of the city, and appeared like unto cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each them, all filled with the Holy Ghost, and he asked me that tongue spirit gave mutterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout Jews, and men from every nation under heaven. Was noised abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard him speak in his own language, all amazed and marveled, saying, behold, are not these all Galileans? And how then hear we every man in their own tongue? All right. Let's take a look at verse 3. And it said, there appeared in cloven tongues like a fire and sat upon each of them. Now, my understanding here that the actual truth of the matter is that there was one cloud of fire that came, and from that cloud of fire there came down tongues and sat upon each of them. In other words, there was one pillar of fire, and that's what you're going to get anyway. There's not a lot of pillars of fire. There's only one.
Right.
So therefore, out of that pillar of fire is going to come the tongues of fire.
Amen.
And that's all it will be, is tongues signifying it's a portion. See? And you'll notice on the tape where Brother Branham preached in Albuquerque, he saw the Holy Spirit come in tongues of fire sitting upon people and actually going in them. I'm almost sure it's Albuquerque. I don't think it's Santa Fe. Preached 2 times there, the full God's business, in my knowledge. All right. Now, one cloud, then licks the fire descending on each one. Verse 4, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost, which is exactly right. Now, each individual, first of all, was filled, then corporately, they were all filled. For there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each individual. Then it says, all were filled. So therefore, there is an individual filling that makes up the corporal. Every single person was filled, and there was not one that was not filled. So therefore, every member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is full of the Holy Ghost. Now, There were none who were not filled in order to become a part of him and a part of and a part with each other. To be one with him and one with each other, it takes the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now we see this without variance. In other words, it's never changed. One cannot be a part of the spiritual Christ and the physical Christ without this personal baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now the reason I say physical and spiritual is very important, because your baptism with the Holy Ghost is the spiritual part, but there is a physical part which is the body of Jesus Christ. It is not spiritual. It is mystical, but it is not spiritual. See? In other words, your bodies are physical. And they always will be. So therefore, when you die, the Holy Spirit takes leave. He has already quickened you, putting his sign upon you, that if you're reduced to a little thimbleful of gas, he will raise you up.
Amen.
But he is not there. He has gone back. The Spirit goes back to God who gave it. You see? So, there's a spiritual thing, and there's a physical thing in here. You can't be a part of him by joining a church, or by being baptized into water, or being baptized in a local assembly. Now, that's what the Baptists do. That's what the Church of Christ does. That's what the Catholics do. They're all doing it. And you cannot be baptized into a doctrinal formula or into some kind of a good moral life. You see? It is a rebirth. And it must be by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which places you in Jesus Christ. There is no place where the Bible teaches you are placed in assembly by being baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will assemble yourself. That's a different thing entirely. And in the physical, you'll pay tithes. That's another thing entirely. Now, we go to verses 4 to 7. And it says, all filled began to speak. The Spirit gave mutterance. And there were these people there who heard these languages. And my goodness me, they were all amazed. Now, what we see in the first portion is the vertical. See? What we see here in the second portion is the horizontal. In other words, now the Holy Spirit begins to manifest. And at that time it was necessary that he manifest in that particular way, for they were speaking their own native language, and the Holy Ghost turned those words right around and put them into 13 different languages. I counted. Now you say, Brother Bale, there's a whole lot more there. Here's where you're wrong, because some of those people spoke the same language. I looked it up. 13 languages. Huh. Just think of one thing.
Yeah.
United States is chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. That's where she ends up. They went away from God. Now, God first manifests or reveals himself to the individual, and then the members on the horizontal level manifest him who come to them. They manifest him, that's the Holy Spirit, that comes to them in the vertical. For except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot live or walk in that spirit. That's an individual thing. But once it's in the individual, the qualitative characteristics of the Holy Spirit begin working out here.
Yeah,
you see? Now, let's go to chapter, verse 37-41. Now when they heard these things, they pricked in their heart and said to the apostles, what are we going to do? What do we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I promise unto you and to your children all that fire up in these men as Lord our God shall call. Now you'll notice what the Holy Spirit was doing. This is what Jesus said would happen within them who were sealed unto him.
Amen.
When you're joined to him, you will be a witness.
Amen.
But you're not born again to be a witness. The fact is you're born again to be united with him.
Yes.
Then you become a witness.
Amen.
And the witnessing is in the horizontal. So don't put the horizontal in the vertical. See, now you'll understand more as we go along. Keep it where it belongs, see? Now, you notice right here what it says. What is the first thing that Peter did? The first thing that Peter did was go to the Word in the Revelation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And as Brother Branham said to the Catholic Christian, yes, I will forgive sins the way Peter did. Repent and be baptized. See? Now, there is that beautiful horizontal. Now with it, 46 and 47. And they continuing daily with one accord in temple, and breaking bread from house to house, ate their meat with gladness and singing of the heart, and praising the Lord, having saved the people. Now listen. that doesn't come, rather the Holy Ghost doesn't come, in order for you to have that. You will have that if you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because that's the qualitative characteristics that lie within him. That's what you'll be inspired to do. That's what's going to happen. And I said, they continued daily in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. In other words, they took the Lord's Supper. Brother Branham said concerning Lord's Supper, he said, Branham Tabernacle, you do wrong.
That's right.
He said, you think you can have this just once a month? And they could. But he said, back in those days, they did it every day. See? In other words, the Holy Spirit will manifest in the horizontal in a certain way if you've been attached properly to the vertical.
Yeah.
Now listen, we're not saying that this can't happen in that last time, end time church. They can be just as happy. Brother Brand said, why? The Mohammedans have just the same psychology, just as happy. And the people didn't have just as many miracles and all those things. They can take the Lord's Supper, wash feet, have long hair and all those things.
Yeah.
But of course, see, the one thing didn't have the word. That's what I showed this morning on identifying how to identify the Holy Spirit, which life you really had. But let's face it. Let's face this fact, that even the anointing, which is not the true baptism, will bring all these things. So the true baptism with the Holy Ghost will not throw them to one side, but will place them properly. You see? So therefore, there is not a great revival of gifts. The revival means that the life has been resurrected.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said we've had a spiritual resurrection from creeds and dogmas.
Hey,
you see? All right. Let's go a little further here. The last part of 47. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. Now you notice what the horizontal did. The horizontal brought these people who were ordained into the vertical.
Yeah.
Then they went out with the vertical in the horizontal and brought more people to the vertical. In other words, they became witnesses. They were not given the Holy Ghost in order to become witnesses, but when they received the Holy Ghost, they did become witnesses. In other words, you don't talk to become a baby. You become a baby, then you talk. Don't get the manifestation and the attributes out here. Get the person. That's what A.B. Simpson finally found out. He said, once it was the gift, but now it's the giver. Brother Bannon said, concerning gift, he said, I give you my pen. He said, it doesn't mean I give you myself. I give you a gift. Many people say, I got the Holy Ghost because I speak in tongues. That is not true. If you do have the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues, but tongues is not the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
He said, how will they speak and hold it in tongues? Brother Branham said, there'll come a time when you will not be able to utter the praises and what's in your heart toward him, so he gives you that expression. And that's why people speak in tongues, if they're truly born again. Doesn't mean they're born again because they speak in tongues. You see? Why, a parrot can talk. Does that mean it's a human being? Have to be really born again, that one. Notice 8 chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 14. Now the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard the Samaritans had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed them, they might receive the Holy Ghost. For yet he's fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Notice you'll see here that what was in the horizontal had come into the vertical, and the vertical gave a testimony to the rebirth, to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But at that time, these people had to have a laying on of him in order to go into the vertical. So therefore, what did they do? Why, if you've got a real vertical in your life, you'll point to the real vertical. How can a man full of the Holy Ghost then testify to a pope and say Hail Mary and join the church and everything else and have a wrong water baptism? Come on. That's asinine. See what I'm talking about now? You've got to get your vertical. And when the vertical's there, it'll always come back to the vertical. See, it won't come out here in the wrong horizontal. No way. See? All right. Go a little further. Acts the 13th chapter, 46 to 48. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, says necessary the word of God be first preached spoken to you, and seeing you put it from you, judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, go return to the Gentiles. For so saith the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light for the Gentiles. Now Paul didn't say Jesus was a light to the Gentiles, he said that he was a light to the Gentiles. Okay? That's why those seven spirits before the throne, those seven messengers, also be called seven lamps. Now, well, that's how the Holy Ghost comes by lamp. But who's the lamp? The church? No. The lamp was in the midst of the church. The light come to the church. The light come from the light. Now, Gentile church, they glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe. And the word of the Lord is published throughout the region, all the region. Now notice what happened. The vertical goes into the horizontal. They say, all right, now it's time for Gentiles to come in. That's the word of the Lord. So therefore, they can come into the vertical. They get the same experience. And they go out in repetition. See? Now, God adding members. Ephesians, the second chapter. This is that church Paul said he got the Holy Ghost. They said, don't even hear about him. When he said, if you haven't heard about him, you haven't got him. 18 to 22, second chapter. For through him we both have access to by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the Spirit, with the saints, the household of God, and built upon the foundation of the Bible, Jesus Christ, now being chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitly framed together grows on the holy temple in the Lord. Now notice it says the whole building grows.
Amen.
See? In whom also you're built together for an habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Baptism with the Holy Ghost makes you a candidate. Baptism with the Holy Ghost joins you to God. Makes you not only a candidate, but makes you an actual member, a living stone of the true temple of God.
Amen.
You see? Which we're heading up for New Jerusalem. Now, let's go back to Acts 1 and 8 again. Which is a great favorite. Often quoted verse by people who spell out soul winning as the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. That's dunamis. You'll be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, not the most parts of the earth. Sure, but you got to get the Holy Ghost first.
Right.
See, and that's not what he's given for.
No.
But that's what you'll do. See, just like you eat food, it's to give you energy. What? Now, the food itself contains the energy, and that energy goes to your body. I don't know how it's going to work. Some of you may chop wood, some of you may read a book, some may go out and play tennis, some may play football. I don't know what you can do. But you got the energy. So it is here. But you got to have it, see? Then what the manifestation is, it can be any which way. See, people don't want to recognize that manifestation. See, let me give you something here. You get all fired up about gifts. You got to talk in tongues. You got to this, you got to that. I'm going to just tie you right down tonight, smarten you all up. I've tried to do it before, but maybe it didn't get across you. In Romans, the 12th chapter, it says many members in one body. All don't have the same office. And we being many are one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. And that's the thing you see right there that the vertical ever all the time does.
Sure.
I'll explain more of this later. Sixth chapter, verse. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the force of the faith, or ministry. Now where do you find that? Somebody tell me what it is. Well, come on. You say, I'm going to have a little room of nine gifts. What about this? Boy,
yeah.
Say, brother, Baal, that ain't the word of God. That's what I thought you'd say. Irenaeus, the second church age messenger, said there's hundreds of gifts in the body of Christ. Hundreds! Make malar, eh? Go ahead and call malar. Do you think he was a bastard to the word? He was taught by Paul. Polycarp was taught by John. He was taught by Jesus. Or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth. Now tell me about that gift. Or he that giveth. Got to go in the room for that one. These gifts here don't bug anybody, but you get those other gifts without a control, they'll lead you right into devil power and you won't even know it.
Yeah.
Horizontal, then they claim they got the horizontal because they just got part of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's true in a way you do, but it's not all the way true. Now it says that here, it says he deserves, or he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And don't be a hypocrite with your love. Ha! I could blow that one. I ain't going to take that. See? Now, we can surely see Acts 1 and 8 is not the evidence, as some would say, nor are those gifts the evidence. But the light makes us soul winners. Sure. It makes soul winning possible. Sets a man on fire to win souls. See? As an attribute of the light. Let's go back to John 17. 21 to 23. That day they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that oneness takes place in the first church age and in the last church age under the white throne. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also be one in us, the world may know that thou hast sent me, that the glory which thou gavest me and the glory that thou gave me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. He says, everything in my person I give them, and everything that belongs to me is a person I give them. That's why he's got an inheritance in the saints that he gives it. Yeah. I'm going to talk about it sometime, but not now. Yeah. And it's so simple, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
But it'll change your life. Brother Brand said, the simple things were the great things. I and them and thou and me, that they may be perfect in one. Well, there is a perfection. The bride's perfect, all glorious within and without. No spot and no wrinkle. Without blemish. Immortal. Incorruptible. Just like Jesus. Now. And also finished. You're in him, it's finished, it's wrapped up. And only so many get wrapped up. Pardon the expression. All right. And the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. John 14:20. That day you know that I am in the Father, you and me, and I in you. See? Now, the Son of Man must manifest himself in human flesh in every age, because that's the bride. You say, where do you get that quote? I got that quote right from William Branham, prophet of God. And I said, Brother Branham, what do you mean when you say the Son of Man revealed in human flesh? He said, that's the bride in every age.
Amen.
The Son of Man must be manifest. He must be revealed in every age. Now, we'll go over to Ephesians again, the fourth chapter. You remember this happened in the first age and happens in the last age, Alpha and Omega. Fourth verse. Yeah, one body, one spirit. He is your calling, one hope of your calling. Now listen, he was appealing to those fellows. He said, you know you have one calling. You know you've got one hope. He said, you know that thing. I want to tell you one thing. If the Corinthian church missed it, there's one body and one spirit, even. See, even as that. Now, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father, God and Father of all is above all and through all and in you all. And unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Notice he repeats that from the book of Romans. In other words, there is not one person that's not indelibly joined and irrevocably joined to Almighty God. There's not one of you doesn't have a ministry. But all the women didn't like it. And Brother Branham said, you've got a ministry already. It's your husbands and children. They couldn't take it. Well, what do you want out of life? Yeah. Women who deserted that precept that God gave them are out there in the world today, and with their ERA, their Equal Rights Amendment that they want down in the States, they're in the same thing you want here, and I think you're worse than we are down there. They have liberated the men to have their sex and everything else they want, and the woman's still the underdog, and she's worse off than ever. Proving she never could handle it, and she never will handle it. Because she's got one job, to be in love. And the man spoke to love her just like Jesus loved the church. I wonder how Adam felt when he found she'd been finugling around with the devil. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that nature doesn't abominate a woman that messes around with other men, Albert Pace and Terrigen tells of the fact in nature. If a female goose is dead, the male never mates again. And he tells about two dogs. There's a male and a female. And evidently, she was at a certain time when another dog came by. And she'd been bred all the time by this one dog, this male dog. And she got down the street, another male. Albert Pace and Terry, he says, that dog looked like he had a broken heart. He never touched that female again. Nature teaches these things. And then people didn't get away with it. You talk about your gift. How many women believe their hair is their glory? I'm going to ask my wife, because she does an awful job of hers. I'd give her a week, see. Look, my God, if you can't get your hair straight, put a wig on, Brother Branham said you could do it. Just don't make it a girl. If your yellow head don't make a black head. If your black head don't make a yellow head. Some of you get so bound up, you're still Pentecostal, Nicolaitan, Laodicean, Legalist. That's okay. I ain't even talked tough yet. I'll get going really long. I get so fed up with this legalistic. You don't know the horizontal, the vertical, you don't even know God, Almighty God by some revelation, but you got all kinds of screwed up ideas.
Just threw them in the mix match. They went around like that.
Yeah.
Talk about a mess.
Where'd they get it? Right from the devil. Didn't get it from God. You know, some folks came one day to see Brother Neville. They said, we're all mixed up about this doctrine on the Christmas tree and everything else. They talked to Brother Neville. He said, I just want to tell you one thing. Brother Branham always walked right down the middle of the road. Who needs a Christmas tree? But who said you deny the Spirit of Christ at Christmas? Who said you deny His birth? Who said you cut this off and cut that off as though it was going to make you something extra special and wonderful? The last thing the prophet said, little kids don't understand. We're helping to understand. We're teaching the real Spirit. Okay. Yeah, right down here tells you all about these goodies. All right. Holy Spirit came down. And there's a gift of grace, there's a given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Now I want to tell you something. The pastor, a true pastor, has got to have a certain gift according to the measure of his gift. In other words, what his gift lines up to, he's got to have what it takes to be able to handle it. Or he better quit pastoring. The man that's on the road like me has got to have it or get out. See? Every single thing in this life, you are absolutely qualified for through the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You've got everything you need. You don't have to look here and to look there. You just live with God, will begin to come through you. There'll be something stirring up in there. I want to ask you, what stirs up women to go preaching? What gave Maddie Crawford a vision of Jesus Christ that said that changed her life and she went preaching? Pentecostal hogwash. Don't tell me one was ever called to preach. She wasn't. Like Brother Branham said, sure, he said, I don't doubt Amy was called to preach. He said, God told her to preach because he knew she was going to preach anyway. Go check her life out like I did out in California. I sat with a man who knew the whole bunch, Randolph Hearst, who used to run around with him, the whole bunch of them. Don't tell me that guy was a liar because he wasn't. He'd call your bluff any day and pull any skeleton out of the closet and put flesh on it. He knew her. Sure. You're going to have something to suit your gift. You got the Holy Ghost. How can he go wrong? How can a person full of the Holy Ghost just believe this message or preach it wrong? I want to ask you a question. How can it be done? How can it, in the mouth of a preacher that's ordained of Almighty God, Brother Brown said this. He said, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Word. And a person can't preach this message in the Word, there's something wrong with him. Get out of preaching. You say, you're tough, Brother Dale. Why not? God's tough. See? All right, so you got the measure in there. In other words, the vision. Wherefore? Now wherefore, he said. The wherefore is because there's one body, one spirit, one hope of calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father God, through all and in all and so on. And when the Holy Ghost came back, he put gifts in the church. He put the church in order. See? Now he descended. Tells who he is. Now notice what it does here. He gives a fivefold ministry. And it's a fivefold ministry, not the gift. Not what lies in the pew. Although they are fully compatible with and adjunct to, and without them there is no working of the fivefold. Don't let anybody ever tell you that fivefold can operate apart from you, because it can't. Because if there's no sheep, there's no shepherd. If there's no shepherd, the sheep have a terrible time. There's no way getting there because they're too dumb. And that meant that the pastor's a sheep too, he's just a dumb. I'm not calling you dumb and letting the fivefold not be dumb, the whole bunch of dumb, because they're all sheep. Silly sheep, as some people say. Now, he put these in here authoritatively with the Word, in order to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the Spirit of God, till all come in unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen, brother and sister, there's a vertical there. Do you hear what I said? There's a vertical there. By the Holy Ghost. Then what is the horizontal? Perfect the saints. Work out the ministry. Help them. Who's been shooting you a lot about gifts? Did he go in the room with you? Ha! Preach it, Brother Bill. You got him by the tail now. Hey! Come on! Come on! Challenge you. Stand beside me. Come on, now, you stand beside me. Come on. I'll let a woman do it. Who's your guy for? Who's your guy for? Excuse me. The prophet said, I'll go with you. The prophet said, I'll go with you. Wait a minute. Oh, wait. Anybody can talk. I'm not afraid to stand and think. I'm not kidding you, brother. I'm not kidding you. I've had a ministry years ago put more ministry to shame. I was called a second Branham in Canada. That was a complete fool. I stand up here and challenge anybody, preach Pentecost, anybody else, and I can get called their bluff, too. I could call anybody bluff. And I said it right. The prophet said you had a lot of true discernment, but you did make mistakes. So I was butting into a field I had no right to. How many people butt in where they don't belong? You're born to your end. If you're called like a five-fold minister, you'll have it burning in you. You don't want to go, but you'll go. You'll burn to be the best wife. You'll burn to be the best mother. You'll burn to be the best husband. You'll burn to be the best provider. You'll burn to be the best giver. You'll burn to be the best exhorter. Draw men to Jesus Christ. You'll burn, brother, sister. Not a bunch of you are burning to talk in tongues. You may talk in tongues once and ever again. Prophet said you may prophesy once and ever again. The horizontal. The edifying the body of Christ. The horizontal. Coming in unity of faith. The horizontal. Coming in knowledge of the Son of God. Under a perfect man. Under the measure of stature of Christ. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. I want to get you to get this straight. I've had 7 months I've never had in my life before. And I've had it because a man rose up jealous of my ministry. And he wants to get into my horizontal. That's all I've got. You will never see believe they act like Jesus Christ. You will never hear him talk like Jesus Christ. You'll never see a thing about him like Jesus Christ. But if you sit here and cannot see Christ when I preach this word, there's something wrong with you because I've got a gift. And I've got a spirit on me. Call the spirit of prophecy. But they don't want it. The prophet said, you're just like me, and I could have said my facetious way. Sure, we've got two eyes, I got two eyes. One knows what else is new. I said, what does it mean, Brother Branham? He said, I've got to really get the healing, nobody wants it. You've got to really get the teaching, nobody wants it. I've been cut to ribbons because they don't want my vertical. That's what's wrong. They didn't even want Brother Branham's vertical. Now they want the horizontal. Only one part of it. Heal the sick, heal the sick, heal the sick. Do this, do that. Come here, do this. Come here, do that. But when the full vertical came on, which was that ordained, revealed word that he began to teach, even proven, in the horizontal proven, that the vertical was what he said it was. They didn't want his horizontal, which was the revealed word of Almighty God. You're sitting here tonight. If you attack this morning, you're going to go ahead, you're going to go backwards. Not because we built that zone. Ain't no way you're not going to do it, because this changed my life. I've never been sicker in my life. Never more miserable what I've gone through. Mentally, physically. Let me tell you something. The revelation came through. What I've gone through. Mentally, physically. Let me tell you something. The revelation came through.
Amen.
And for the first time in my life, I knew that there was one God.
Amen.
I could talk about it before like you talk about it.
Yeah.
I could sing about it. But tonight I know that there's one God and I know His name. See? Growing up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is Christ? He's the Word. This is the hour of that full Word. How do I know? Because it says, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. For the first time through all the ages, we know who Melchizedek is and why.
Yeah.
We know when he became, when he wasn't before.
Right.
We know these things were Christ. By God himself is bringing everything under the feet of Jesus in subjection.
Yeah.
Putting in the headship.
Oh, God.
If I were here long, I would tell you what's going on now. Where God first of all led me by spirit to know what's in the heavens. And he bypassed the earth, and he came right to the Word. He said, here it is what's going on now in the Word.
Amen.
I'm not boasting. I'm not telling anybody. I leave here tomorrow morning. Leave here. God bless you. I've got no problem. You think for one minute I'm trying to make me Dale somebody? You got to hear him. You've missed me Dale a million miles.
I want to go home. I got a nice home now for the first time. I likely have to leave it, sell it for a loss. Two deep freezers full of goodies. Air conditioned, hardly cost pennies to run. Basement full of wood, burn wood. Nice beds, everything. Nobody buzzing my ear, bugging me, anything else. Here's just going home. Go home. What for? Carry out in the doctrine. What do you got yourself set for? Win the doctrine of the Word of God. Doctrine side of us, the Word. Cunning craft to slide him in. The lying wager to see if I told you a long time ago I preached this for 20 solid years, you still make the Bible a liar. You don't believe that men were the lying wager. You're too nice. A whole bunch of just too nice. You can't believe these things. Ha! Wake up! You think the devil's king? He wasn't raped. You'll go on believing it. Unless you change. What do you think those apostles were like when they came by? Brother Ben said they called them false apostles. He said, mine. He said, that was flat. That was pretty flat. I like flat things. Yep. Well, they said, what do you mean calling us false? Well, he said, you don't say what Paul said. Why don't they say what the prophet said? But holding the truth and love grew up unto him. The vertical that God gives these men goes into the horizontal and brings you right up to the vertical. That's exactly where Brother Branham was. He was the one with the vertical that put it into the horizontal and brought us right into the vertical. See? Growing up unto him. Not into him, you're in him. Which is the head even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and combined that every joint supply. Why, what does it tell you? Look at here. You know that Brother Banner explained the whole thing was a pyramid. Didn't he? Sure, he had a pyramid like this. Then he had up here. And then going to come to you, dude. You know something? Tell you flat. Roy Borders and the whole bunch have made a mistake on that. Nobody got the pyramid right. Let me get the thing here so you can really see it. Ooh. There's a guy there, I think. A little flange up here, he says it sits on. Don't worry about that. There, see? Oops, moved it too much yet. That's not too good, but good enough. They all made a mistake. I think it's page 47. I'm not sure now. Of Thatcher. He says, see the little lines up there? Why, it's in there. Why'd they leave them out? He said they were there. But didn't he? Get the book. All right, look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Coming down, right? 1, 1. Coming down. 2. Coming down. 3. Coming down. 4. Coming down. 5. Coming down. 6. Coming down. 7. Okay. Ain't nothing more to come down.
Hey,
nothing more to come down? Zoom.
Amen.
That's great. Amen.
See?
Amen.
Watch. This last group here. Notice. One is up here. Right? Two is up here. Three is up here. I'm getting four, but you know how it is. 4, 5, 6. Kind of inverted pyramid. It's not too much room here. Start again. Now look, now watch, it's all coming down from there. And down here is this little group here. See? A little bit down here. Now I'm not going to leave it that way, but I'm just going to take it off and put it, like this here. And put it like that there. Now what comes down? All comes down.
Yeah.
Everything poured into all the ages comes down here. This was the cornerstone,
yeah.
Age number one, right? And Pentecost, right. Down here in these 53 years little platform, Brother Man said.
Right.
All right, it came down here in a portion, came here in a portion, came here in a portion, and this would have came all down.
Yeah.
This is a million times greater than Pentecost.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Dave Bombas then, why do you think Brother Man took back that suit?
Yeah.
Where'd you get it? I want to ask Dick Lambert why he believes that nobody's got the ladder in just because he has it. Just like Coleman didn't have light for 9 years, nobody had it. Look, brother, sister, I don't have certain things. That doesn't mean somebody ain't got it.
That's right.
The prophet himself said, if we're not bad, there's a bright out there.
Amen.
See? All right. Come here. But everything the joint supplies, here's the pyramid. And let's just leave it while we leave it here. It's growing up, growing up, growing up, growing up. Now he's up here. It is not growing into him. This is already he being formed.
Amen.
And since the head, which is flesh, came out of the grave, this has got to come out of the grave. So therefore, it is growing up. Now notice it's a growth where it's growing up unto him. Notice what I said, it's a growth. And you're growing up unto him. Is that what it said? Is that what the Bible said? You still don't get it. Not sudden.
That's
right. Growth. Right. Right. So at the end time, it's a growth. All right. Rub it in. From whom the whole body fitly. Pyramid. Can't put a razor in it.
That's right. Amen.
Can't put a
razor. That's right.
That's how she is in the horizontal from the vertical. She is indissoluble.
That's right.
And she is absolutely unable to disintegrate or be separated.
Amen.
No way. Now, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. By that which every joint supplies is, it's compacted. In other words, the cement in here. What is the cement? By that which is given you is the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek I find he that is joined the Lord. Cemented to God is one Spirit. There's a cement from God and there's a cement with us. And to each other. According to the effectual wisdom and measure of every part. Now notice, every single member, every single person, every one of us has a measure from God. And this thing in itself, every one of this is a measure. Everything measured of God. God in a measure. God in a measure. God in a measure. God in a measure. All of God at the end time. Immeasurable.
Amen.
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 No wonder it's a million times past Pentecost. What do I know the Pentecost for? Sure, I couldn't stand that. All right. Notice, it says, and it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Love is what the last chapter on. God himself. Hi, listen, these churches talk about, one fellow up there in New York, he talks about bringing brotherly kindness. I got laughing at him. Brother Branham brought brotherly kindness. Seventh church age. They said, looking for love. I'm not looking for love. Love is here. He is here in his love. What are you talking about? Brother Branham said, all the time looking back, all the time looking forward. You don't even know what's going on.
Amen.
Yeah? You love me?
Amen.
Now listen, I preach hard and fast, and I know I confuse you at a certain time. But I'm going to tell you, it's all on tape. You listen. And if you can't find what I'm saying, you come and talk to me. Don't write me a letter. Talk to him here. Write me a letter. I'm going to answer him if I said it. I don't want you to write to me. You tell him. And he'll be in touch. If he can get me. And I'll do my best to answer. I know what I'm saying tonight. There's no doubt. But that, it might not get across to you the way I want it to. I don't know. All right. Where do we go from there? All right. There is just no way that one can be a true child of God unless he's filled with the Spirit of God. No way. Except you have the Spirit of Christ. You are none of his. And if you have the Spirit of God, you are one of his. You take the no away and you leave the one. So to speak. Okay. No one can be added to... no one can be added to and become a part of the body of Christ, or not one can be added to and that to the body of Christ and become a part of the body of Christ outside of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Oh, brother, just 2 pages gone. I'll read my notes and you go home. As every human body member, that's speaking of the physical, as every human body member, such as each arm and leg and eye and heart, is a part of the body because of that specific kind of life in that body, so in each member... so is each member a member of Christ because God's own life and that of the bride is one. It's the same thing. Ephesians 5:30. For ye are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, his life. For we are not a part. If it isn't for his life in us, we are not a part. For each cell must be of that one life. Every cell. I'm going to prove it to you. In the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 37-39. That which thou sowest not that body, that shall be but a bare grain. And that it may the chance of wheat or some other grain. That's the germ seed that's there. But God gives it a body as it pleases him to every seed his own body.
Yeah.
All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one flesh of men, one of beasts, one of fishes, one of birds. Celestial bodies, celestial bodies, glory, celestial one, glory, celestial another, one glory of the sun, and so on. Now, let's go back to Genesis 1:12. This is the thing that Brother Branham brought up to us. Now, and the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit after his kind. The seed was in itself after his kind. That word is sperma, that which brings forth the life. And so therefore, brother, sister, the life of God is in that bride, and the life of God is in human flesh. See? It's got to be that same life. Now, I'm going to a premise that is perfectly scriptural over here from what I said in 1 Corinthians 12, 15 and 27, just a few verses. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, therefore not of the body. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now the people here were in confusion. Due to confusion, listen, due to confusion, the Corinthians would not acknowledge, would not confess, nor testify and witness to the reality of the life that made them members of Christ. Now you didn't hear what I said, you're not getting, I'm going to tell you again. I read two verses. If the foot shall say, I'm not the hand, so I ain't in the body. Is it not of the body? Now ye, the body, you are the body of Christ, and everyone a particular member.
Amen.
You're a particular member whether you feel it or not.
That's right.
Or you've got any manifestation or not that you think should be the manifestation.
That's it.
I ask you a question. Concerning your hand, do you have to educate your hand, or does your hand respond because of the mind? Now, there's a certain education in there. I admit it. But your hand responds to the mentality, and the mentality responds to a life. And Brother Banner said the mind was a part of the spirit, and the spirit part of the mind. So when you get the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, you're going to have the function there where the body's going to produce. Something's going to produce. Now, listen, due to confusion, the Corinthians would not acknowledge, would not confess nor testify to the witness of the reality of the life that made them members of Christ. Because they said this, I'm not the hand, so therefore I'm not of the body. Well, if I can't preach, I'm not of the body. I said, because I can't run my husband, I'm not of the body. You are telling one thing, that you're denying the life of Christ. Because you're a member of the body because you got the life of Christ. Now, where is your gift as far as faith is concerned? I'm not against gifts. I want to tell you some things here, brother, sister, smarten up. The prophet of God said the gifts as it were, they're put in the shelf. Who put them on the shelf? God put them on the shelf. And go and take them off. Get so fucked up and worried. Yeah, I'm going to be looking very puzzled. Martin up. Get the look of puzzling out of your face.
Amen.
Who put on the shelf? Did the prophet? Let's settle this thing. I told you before. A certain guy in South Africa, he did. That made me very happy because he made Brother Brown in the filth of the earth. Said he was drunk while driving and got killed. So if you think I'm going to regret it, you don't know Lee. The man killed my son, I'd have an awful job loving him. Maybe I should, but no, I didn't ask you. I'm not up here some stuffed shirt going to tell you a lot of junk. Now listen. That bird went to Charlie Fetter in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And he prophesied to Charlie that he would sell his motel. The motel sold just like he said, and Charlie got carried away. And I said, Charlie, I want to ask you one question before you get carried out and they can't carry you back. That was my attitude. He couldn't quite tell him that. I want to ask you a question, bud. Did this man's prophecy make the building sell? Or was God just letting him in on a secret that the building would sell? Ha ha. What a difference. Let me see what I'm talking about. These Corinthians got carried away in a horizontal that God warned you to look out for. And he said, because at the end time, as it happened in the first age, the last days, 2 days it happened in both, first time and end time, the anointing could come upon anybody. And when this anointing came, as it did, they began vying with each other, and they were confused. And they lost faith in God. And the blood. Shall I read you something?
Yes.
Thank you. I was going to read anyway. I know what I'm talking about. It is impossible for those who once and were enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift, made partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God and power to come. Having fallen away, it is impossible, renewing in repentance, see, they crucify to themselves the Son of God. They deny the blood. They deny life. They said, we're not members. We don't have some great thing going for us. You go where you want to go, brother, sister. I know where I'm going. I'm trying to go. They witnessed the gifts that separated them. The Holy Ghost does not separate. They were not aware of Matthew 10 and 32, which I read to you this morning out of the original expanded Greek. Therefore, every one of us who is of such a character that he will confess me before men in the realization and of testimony to this his oneness with me, I will also confess him before my Father who's in heaven in the realization and testimony of my oneness with him.
Yeah.
In other words, when you answer back to God the right way, he answers back to you. Now, they were answering back to God, and the word came back, shut up, you're all messed up. What messed them up? They couldn't understand the vertical into the horizontal. They got carried away with gifts, which was in the vertical, which was an attribute. And they left the horizontal out entirely, which was the Holy Ghost baptism. I want to ask you a question. How many of you people have moaned and groaned and sobbed and howled because you didn't have something wonderful? I told you time after time until I understood the anointing ones in the end time, and I was taught privately before the sermon ever came out, would save my soul life, not my soul, but my soul life, which I was willing to get preached. And I told my wife, look, I said, it seems to me that everybody gets drunk and messed with women and defrauds people gets a wonderful gift from God. I didn't know that was the scripture. Old David stood back and he couldn't understand why the wicked prospered like a big bay tree. It sure cut him down too. So I said to my dear wife, I said, well, honey, what am I going to do? I said, it looks like I really have to go ahead and leave you and get a brunette because you're blonde. I got to really do it up brown and get myself a Cadillac and go out and live in adultery and mess everybody up, and then maybe God will bless me. What did it? Gift. What did it? Gift. Come on, be honest with me. Come on, don't be a bunch of poker faces. What did it? Gift. Well, you say, Brother Bill, gift didn't it? You're right, a misunderstanding did. And believing the vertical. How in the world can a gift and sin go together? I saw that in Canada years ago. I had a bunch of people in Alberta. I was caught for a while and I broke away. And I preached a sermon on thy scepter, O God, the scepter of righteousness. I said, if you're going to have these manifestations, you better live a life.
Amen.
This guy living with women and dirty double dealing and rotten stealing and everything else, lying, chiseling, gouging, living like the devil. He got a ministry, bless your heart, that just about raised the dead. I knew something was radically wrong. Then I get down the States and I see the better type of boy. Then I see the rotten type of boy. Then I figure the good boys, a few good boys got it, and I'm trying to be a good boy and I can't get it, and the rotten boys all get it, let's be rotten. Like Leo DeRocher said, good. That's nice guy finished last. And Brother Bannon taught the truth and I got liberated.
Amen.
Now listen to what helped me setting the church in order. Okay. Now, well, Hebrews 10:23. What's that say? It says this, if I ever find it. I can pretty well quote it. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, not profession, but confession about waving, because faithful is he that made the promise. And back to Matthew 16 and 18, which you know all about it. He said, thou art Peter, and the gates of hell, upon this rock I build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, there you are. Paul had to set the church in order. Now, let me ask you a question. What did Paul set the church in order with? Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah, Brother Branham sat in that building that night, and he cut this woman down for speaking in tongues, and they said, Brother, oh, brother, you were terribly wrong. He said, how could I be wrong preaching the Word of God? Oh, but you had the old man, and she had the new. Ha! Women preachers. People ask, what church do you belong to? Well, it can't be Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. But it's got to be Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 22 to 24. But you are coming to Mount Zion of the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, to a numerous company of angels, messengers, to the General Assembly Church, to the General Assembly Church, the firstborn. That's the people like to call themselves General Assembly, the Church, the firstborn. Ha! Because they say so. Which are written in heaven. Tell me, show me what church is written in heaven. To God, the judge of all. To fear the just men made perfect. Listen, that's happening now. That Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, as the blood of spring that speaketh better things than Abel. New covenant. What's his name? Melchizedek. We're just about there. It says at that time, don't refuse him to speak it. You see? Now, that's the church. It is the same Corinthian spirit that carries men away to self. Instead of God and self-importance and big me in this very hour.
Yeah, right.
Now with the opening of the seals in Revelation 22, 8 to 17, the church is now called the bride. Yep, enjoying the love and presence of God and loving him back. Not trying to compete with him. Huh. Brother Bannon came to Lima, Ohio. There's some people phoned me and she said, Brother Dale, I want you to pray for my husband. He's dying of cancer. She said, cancer is dying of cancer. Why, I said, throw him in the car and bring him to Lima. Brother Brown is coming here. She said, I said, he's dying. I said, I know that's why you bring him. He's going to die anyway. Bring him.
Amen.
She brought him. First man in the prayer line. Brother Brown stood back, shattered across. He said, just that funny looking face. He said, shatter that cancer. Stumbled forward, reached his hands on his and prayed. That night he went on a bowel movement. All the cancer came away. Within a few days, his face was nice and light, perfectly healed. So here they are. I thought it might be nice if they sat at the table with us for dinner. And my wife just shouldn't have done it, but she's so nice to everybody. I gotta just slap her now to stop making me so nice, because she messes things up with her niceness. And me tell you, you get out of that lousy spirit you got. So she said, advice that this lady sat by Brother Branham, so she punched her there. Oh, God have mercy. She didn't regale Brother Branham. She thought that how wonderful she was. Oh, everything she did, she did that. And Brother Branham would pretty soon look like some little tinfoil jackass that had nothing to do. Oh, my dear sister, couldn't you lay hands on me, please? Ha! Giant of God. Big mouth game sit there.
Yeah.
You're wrong, gal. You're wrong. Yep. Yeah, tell her she's wrong. You think I know that, do you? I'll tell you one day. Our marriage is a good marriage. 90% is due to her. I ain't going to let her have the whole 100%. I love her. I love her and she knows. She felt terrible ever since she's done it. Yep. Now with the opening of the seal. Revelation chapter 22. She'll never do that again. She knows better. Yep. Ha, we got to wait till New Jerusalem, said Brother Bannon, except meet him in the resurrection. Yep. Then it doesn't matter who sits with him. That's going to be all goody, goody, goody. Okay, the 8th verse, 9, John saw and heard these things, when I heard and seen a fellow on the worship, he the angel, and showed me these things. He said, don't you do that, I'm the fellow servant of the brethren and the prophets, that can keep the things of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book for the times at hand. When the seals become unsealed, you don't dare ever seal it up again. Now, why do people try to seal the book and say, oh, this has got to come, and that's got to come, and this has got to come? It's unsealed! The prophet said, there's enough right there, and those seals open to you and me, take us right to the rapture. Say, oh, because it'll take us to the tribulation, I mean to the resurrection. And if there's something Brother Branham's got to tell us in the resurrection, hallelujah, he'll tell us then. And I believe he will. I'm sure he will. Because when Jesus came back, he said, he told them things concerning the kingdom. All right, at this time, when those seals are open, this comes upon us. He's done justice, unjust, still filthy, filthy, still righteous, righteous, still holy, holy, still behold, I can drink my words in me, give me my coins with me. I'm Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
He said, what I was there, I'm here today. I came down, set the church in order. I came down now, but I'm going to go beyond it. It's time to resurrect the church and bring it all under control. I'm just talking about the fact that you may be out of the ballpark on the disc. You've got something real. Let me tell you, brother, sister, you might not even be aware, but it's real just the thing. Oh, yeah, many times I've told folk I don't feel my kidneys. I ain't got them, I guess. Well, next time I go to the bathroom, be quite sure I have. I hate to be crude, but I'll pin it down. Right now, I don't feel arthritis. Wish you were gone. Rotten stuff is this. Don't be a nut. All right, listen. We were a man here. Okay. In verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. He calls them bride at the last time. The Spirit and the bride. Notice they got one voice.
Amen.
The other man said, she'll say the same thing if you won't even talk. Said, who's bride? Now, the bride is Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 to 22, and especially 22, so I'm not going to worry about the rest of them. And I saw no temple therein, and for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple of it.
Amen.
Notice the Lord God and the Lamb. See? All right, and where are they housed? With that bride. See?
Amen.
Yes, sir. There's where all worship takes place. Now, let's notice something else here. In Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, Paul does not disagree with John and what he saw. But in 19 to 22, it says, you're no more saints, you're foreign, the fellow citizens of the saints, the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, all the buildings fitting joined together, and go temple, holy, a temple unto in the Lord. In whom you're building for a habitation. So what's the thing? Did he leave the bride out? No, sir. The bride is that where his habitation is. Because the Lamb is at the throne at the above and the pillar of fire above it. And it all makes the holy habitation of the Almighty God. My holy mount, which is Mount Zion. See? Now, brother, sister, since the prophet refused to call us anything but bride, then let us confess it. For God has done it. For God has done the calling. We did not do it. Psalm 65 and verses 1, 2, 3. Now it says here, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And what else to say here? Yeah. Iniquity shall prevail against us, our transgression. See if I got the right verse there. 63. Yeah, that's okay. It says, yeah, praise be to thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Now notice, I can bring the same thing here to your attention. I'll bring it later on, a little down further, how that vow was brought over in Hebrews, and the whole thing comes to the path where we are definitely in the realm, and we are that New Jerusalem. Now, I'll just read that first quick second. All right, when we have had fulfilled in us, Acts 1 and 5, that you receive the Holy Ghost, when the power of the Holy Ghost comes, we personally become the promise of the Son, according to John 14, 16 to 20. Now we know what that says. In other words, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we become the literal Word of God fulfilled according to John 14, 16 to 20. So I better read it so there's no mistake here. Now, John the Baptist came on the scene, said, I am the Word of God. I am Isaiah 41. I am Malachi 3 and 1. Now listen to what it says over here. And I'll praise the Father, and he shall give another company to me by you ever. He is spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive. Receive not me, know him, but you know him, be drowned, and shall be in you. I'll not leave you, come as I will come to you. A little while, and the world see me no more, but you'll see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, know that I am the Father, ye and me, and I am you.
Amen.
Now we are the Word of God fulfilled, it says. We are in the Father, and the Father in us. Now, we become John 14, 16 to 20 in the flesh. So, in our flesh, we are absolutely Acts 1 and 8. We are also, that's with the soul winner, we are also 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and 20. Now notice the soul winner's in the horizontal. Notice in the horizontal. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God himself did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. True Antichrist, in the stead of Christ, taking the place of Christ. You can't have a false one without a true one. You can't have a counter without a true one. So therefore, there is a real true Antichrist. He which literally takes the place of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And then there's that false Antichrist.
Yeah, that's right,
you see? Amen. Now the seven church age messengers are the truth, but every age there rose up a bogus.
That's it. Amen.
Till the end time, there's going to come right one against Christ himself and say, I am that one. He might even have the neoprint.
Yeah.
I don't know. I ain't going to worry about it.
Amen.
See, the world could be fooled anything. They're already fooled. You see the misty appearance. And they can be fooled with anything. Anything will fool them out. Sure, because they believe the devil's lying. I don't care what he tells. They believe it. Now, we're absolutely Acts 1 and 8 and 2 Corinthians 5:20 is our office to everyone. But notice that 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, which is Acts 1 and 8, based upon Acts 1 and 5, see, witnesses because you're filled, is proven to be so by reason of 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God by our union with him.
Amen.
By the baptism with the Holy Ghost, we stand just like Christ.
Amen.
See? I don't pretend you are the Christ.
No. Right.
But you stand as Christ. As Brother Van said, we're all a bunch of Messiah.
Yeah, right.
See? And this happens, as explained to us, fully over here in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and in verse 30. It says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, in union with him, born again, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The whole thing is in there. That's why Brother Branham said, when Christ suffered, I suffered. When he died, I died. In other words, he, as it were part of his own redemption. Now you got to be careful how far you take that.
That's right.
Amen.
See? In other words, he was right there. See? Union. And putting it on, putting it all together. We're back to John 17. Again. And in there. Verse 21. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. They all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See? That may be something down the line, even white throne too. And now, listen. Let's read something here very carefully and sincerely. John 17, 20 to 26 again. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Notice, that they all may be one. The same word that Jesus had back there fulfilled in the first age is the same word every age has gotten concerning this subject, and the same thing has happened in every single age. No way out. That they all may be one. The first church age and the last age. All of them. The Old Testament bride, New Testament bride. Father, as thy Father art in me, and I in thee. Now how was God in him? God was in him because the Holy Spirit came down and filled him.
Yeah. Amen.
The fullness of the Godhead. The fullness does not come to each individual. But by the time the church is in full stature, the fullness of the Godhead is in her.
Amen.
Because he who was the resurrection life stands right there to raise her from the dead.
Amen.
He who is that life takes her right up.
Amen.
The whole thing is where the bride becomes all the all in all of God. In other words, she becomes the full word of God, absolutely revealed in human flesh. You see? Now, and the glory that thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfectly one, that the world may know thou hast sent me as love me, love them as thou hast loved me. Now remember, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he's going to cause the world to bow down and admit that they're the ones that he loves. So therefore, this verse can have a triple fulfillment as far as I know, the same as Brother Branham put him and us and we and him in three stages, that age, this age, and the white throne.
Right.
But I'm looking for something tremendous to come out of this just the same, even though there is one portion down the road in a threefold fulfilling. Now, keep reading on. Father, I will that they also have not given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that thou hast given me, and thou loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now notice that. See, I've known you, I'm the revealer, and if these know that you've sent me, now, how are they going to know? By the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See? Now, I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, notice he associates the name with the love.
Yes.
So therefore, at the end of the age, as in the first age, they knew who he was and they knew the name. It is going to be that those who know the name, as the book of Malachi said, absolutely they are the Jews, and they are the ones that have the love of God and the love of God in them. Now listen, brother, sister, believe the word and get rid of your cotton-picking idea. See, that's what it's all about. That's why this message is going to change your life. You're going to sit there and go back. Now you take your pick. I'm chuck with you tonight, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm not kidding. The people that are full of the Holy Ghost, Paul the Apostle, prayed for them, as I read this verse in Ephesians, the first chapter, and he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge in him. That's the Holy Ghost himself, God Almighty. I can prove it. I got a whole sermon on it. The eyes of understanding being light. You may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the wisdom and mighty power which he wrought in Christ. In other words, the shout brings on the sea, the resurrection, and the resurrection brings on the rapture, and that puts above all principality and power in this world and the world to come, and put everything under his feet, and gave him the head of all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of all things, that filleth all things with all things. In other words, absolutely God comes to a full peak in the bride. See? Now therefore, this must be understood when I am saying here, that this is in the works at this particular time. Now, notice in verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, Jesus said it after God said it, and that established it, because he could only say what the Father told him to say. Now, Brother Branham said, I call you bride, didn't he? So she's supposed to be called bride.
Right.
We're supposed to understand these things and stand with them, because this is what it is about. Now, I don't want to stop, but I want to go on to, again to Hebrews, the sixth chapter, where I took you a while ago, showing you exactly what how they crucified the Son of God afresh. But this time I'm going to go into verse 13. Maybe just read and pass on. Might not think. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, swear by himself, saying, surely I bless thee, multiplying, I'll multiply thee. And so after Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater oath of confirmation, them and end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise, he knew to be his counsel, intervened or interposed himself with an oath. It wasn't just enough to give his word, he came down.
Yes.
Now, the heir of promise is to Abraham not just that son, it's the Gentiles and a city which hath foundation. So when you're talking about where he is with Abraham, God has got to come down himself with his word. He's got to interpose himself. And he's done it. Revelation 10 and 1. That by two immutable things, in which impossible God delight, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. I'll ask you a question. Where is your soul? It's in your body. Where is the anchor? In the body. Who went to the veil? Jesus. Who came back? Jesus. What was he? Holy Ghost. Then you got an anchor of the Holy Ghost right in your own soul. Both sure and steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil. What was in you went within the veil. Christ the hope of glory. Christ our life.
Amen.
Whither the forerunner is entered, even Jesus, made in high priest spirit after your in Melchizedek. And he came down and showed himself. We'll talk about Melchizedek sometime. No time right now. Now, Hebrews 10, 21, 23, which I read you, pardon me already, concerning the having the high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Tells you that. You know something? You can say what you want. I don't care what you say. But I'm going to tell you flat. The Alpha and Omega principle, which I haven't got time to deal with tonight, sets forth the doctrine of the last church age, which could not be fulfilled, but was set forth as though it could be fulfilled at that moment because it lay in the potential.
Yeah.
Now, it says here the body's washed with pure water. If you've got that,
you'll go into immortality.
Amen.
But the first church age corrupted. But there'll be no organization, no corruption with this. This age will have bodies washed with pure water. And they'll enter right into the veil with him in the physical, which they're about to do. But there's something else in the spiritual at this moment we haven't attained to. That thing we talk about, so we'll talk about it later. Hold fast, therefore, your confession of faith without wavering, because you can do it because he's faithful. Right now, people in this message, most of them are going back to Pentecost or fooling around it, and they haven't stayed steadfast with this, and they're losing their hope. They're beginning to drift. Let me tell you something. You better keep on what you're believing, because you ain't going nowhere without it. Except back to Pentecost. See? All right. We read it. Now, let's just take a look at this again in Hebrews 6. Now it says that by two immutable things it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation and federal refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now listen, we're laying hold of it. Which hope we have an anchor of the soul, which hope enters in the veil. Alright, you've got the baptism with the Holy Ghost as the assurance that you're part of him within the veil, and at this moment now, you have actually reached in behind the veil. As Brother Branham said, it was death to enter in behind it one time, and now it's death not to enter in behind it one time. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, and begin to see it. Now, what we do about it? We having the same spirit of faith. According as it, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak. And that's what Paul said concerning it. Our testimony is, we have entered in behind the veil, and are one with him who entered there, and have a hope within our soul, which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, why did he enter there? He entered there because he took his blood. Now, over here, maybe it's the 10th chapter. I don't know. I hope so. Maybe I can find it. Can't find it in Corinthians, I can tell you that. Got to be maybe in Hebrews. We'll see. Okay. And it says here, and every high priest meant daily standing. Verse 11, ministers. Offering oftentimes same sacrifice can never take away sin. But this man, after offering one sacrifice, whoever sat down the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies may be footstool. For by one offering, he preserved them to sanctify, whereof the Holy Ghost is witness to us. In other words, the proof of the fact that Jesus Christ shed his blood, rose the dead, to the mercy seat, and we are we have availability to it and become a part of it. The Holy Ghost came back and said, "I'll see you again."
Amen.
Amen. Sure. Pentecost had a saying years ago: the Spirit answers the blood. It sure does. Man, where's the time gone? Well, it doesn't matter where it's gone. We're still here. All right. So it is not at all difficult to see the great work of the Holy Spirit in the two levels. In the vertical, as from God himself to the individual, and then on the horizontal of God to individuals, reaching out to other individuals, both in the bride and outside of the bride. Now, I'm going to quit. The rest is not too important. All kinds of notes here, but you know a lot about these things already. I'm going to take up the fact of how the Holy Spirit gives us eternal sonship and eternal security, but you know that. I've already talked about it. Don't have to read the scriptures. How we're part of the first resurrection because of it. How we're part of the rapture because of it. How we're in the millennium because of it. How we're part of the white throne because of it. How we're new Jerusalem because of it. In short, Ephesians 1:3-12, which is the bird's eye view of the whole thing, absolutely comes to pass. And if God before us, who can be against it? Again, here, how the Holy Spirit will teach you in the church and teaches each individual. How he leads you on as a covenant. How he directs you in all your thoughts and ways. You know all about that. No, I don't have to teach it. That's good enough. Let's sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that thou art God, and that we have a relationship, and that relationship is not by somebody but yourself. You came down to the Garden of Eden and took care of redemption. You come down to the end time and finish it off, and there's been not one bride that's been bereft of God. There is not one bride that has missed out in God. But Lord, thou art faithful. And tonight we feel constrained, Lord. We feel, Lord, lifted up in our faith that we might say the things that you told us to say. And those things you said about us, Lord, that we are to agree with, because how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So Heavenly Father, we just pray tonight now that that one who walks about like an evil bird that tries to pick away the good green, we pray, Lord, tonight you'll smite him down and don't let him take from our hearts and our minds. God, gird up our hearts and our minds by the Holy Ghost tonight, so that nothing can break in now to take this from us. But rather, Lord, according to your word, now flood us, we pray, with the illumination of the Holy Ghost to speak back to us and make this very, very, very real and mechanical until, Lord, it becomes absolutely right in the spiritual. Lord, you've done so much for me recently in the spiritual. By revelation, I could not believe this would ever come. I did not understand, but Lord, how great it is. And Lord, this can come to you. And it will come to you. Lord, it's going to be precept upon precept, line upon line, here, little, there, little, until the whole thing comes together. So, Father God, tonight we bless your people in the name of Jesus Christ, believing they have been blessed and will be blessed, Lord. Even as dear old Isaac back there in his blindness felt out, and he couldn't change the blessing. He said, hey, he's been blessed, and he shall be blessed. And as the prophet said, thus it has been spoken, thus it's going to be. And we believe it's the same Holy Ghost, Lord. And so we thank you tonight, Father, that we're not looking way back, and we're not looking too far forward, but we're seeing exactly what is in our So, Father, bless your word, and your word is your people tonight, because they've received the word of God, and become the word of God in the place. Therefore, Lord, may the dew of heaven rest abide upon them, and the glory of which you said they would share with you, Lord. They're sharing, and they don't even know it, Lord, but we know it somehow. And, Lord, by your grace, we'll be able to explain it. We hope, Lord, in the days which come. So, Father, we just present ourselves to you, and thank you, Lord, for just your blessing. And we say tonight, thank God for Jesus who died upon Calvary. And we say, thank you, Lord, that you shared yourself with us, that you've united with us, and you've done it all. Therefore, may you receive all the glory. And from now on, Lord, may we who live in the Spirit walk in that same Spirit as children of the light, no longer their minds darkened, no longer with the world, for we're growing right up unto Christ, because it's the end of time. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Well, we certainly don't have any reason not to love him. He showed you where the love was. And you know, Israel couldn't understand the love of God. He said, why you loved him? He said, where have you loved it? Well, he said, I'll tell you, I hated Esau and loved you. You look around you and you'll find a lot of people out there in the charismatics all around the world. Why, the Brother Bam said they worked the old horse to death. Why, look, as you look around, you admire those folks, and you say, man alive, I just look like a cheap old tin horn alongside of them. Ah, that may be your estimation, but God doesn't say that. God doesn't say that. You see, because what people love, God hates. See? That's true. And what people hate, God loves. And they got to hate us. He said, look, if they hated me and made me the devil, you think they're going to get away with me? Well, if they pick up stones to kill him when he said, I'm my father, run, what's going to happen to us?
Yeah, that's it.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, are you going to hold up? Well, he said we would. I didn't say I would. I said, he said we would.
Amen.
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 Well, he said, I'll hold you. He said, when he comes like a flood, I raise up his standard.
Yeah, that's right.
He's coming like a flood, and God raised up his standard.
Amen.
See, he definitely said, we've seen the word God, of God demonstrating the power, but not in this revelation. Brother sister, I'm looking for that revelation.
Amen.
When word of the revealed comes to God. It's going to happen, I'll tell you why. Because every spirit's being manifested.
That's right.
I've told you here before, I said, look, you're going to find out who the real Lee Bale is before it's all over. And I'm going to find out, stick around you, who the real you are.
Amen.
So don't be a hypocrite if you do.
Right.
Just relax.
Amen.
I know that's hard to do. But if you didn't know, there's nothing going to cover up at the end yet. Prophet showed you nothing's going to be covered up. Man, you just say one word, he's flipping in that trance and look right through you. Man, you wouldn't even be fit to be called cheese crop. You wouldn't be there at all the time you look through you.
Right.
You couldn't hide if you tried. Wonderful God with you.
Amen.
He said he's going to be a covert in the end time. Yeah, he said he would. just like it, like the husband is covered to the bride. He is the wife is the husband is covered to his wife.
Sure.
That's why she's got to have long hair for covering. Because husbands are covered. Now, here's your husband. Here's your cover. And you know what? When he covered himself that day, when they tried to kill him, push him on the brow of the hill, they were struggling to push him over, and they couldn't even touch him. He just walked through the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
When he came back in the resurrection, they didn't know who he is, only by what he did.
Yeah, true.
Did he change?
No.
No. Bride's okay. She's not going to go through the tribulation, don't worry.
No.
She'll never see the wrath of God. We weren't appointed to that. Appointed to glory.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing song. Oh, how I love Jesus and take the name of Jesus with you. Okay, somebody started that. Who's in voice?